All of that is in the future, though. But for the present, we go back to the past with History Matters. Joined now in the studio by Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, to take a look back at this week in history. How are you?
Well, that's the only way we can look forward sometimes.
Yes.
Is to look back. Yep. Back there was an anthropologist that actually looked at a tribe, and the language they had, they spoke about the past as ahead of them because they knew what that was, and the future was behind them because they didn't know what that was.
Interesting. Yeah.
But this time we're going to look forward and look back at the same time.
How does that work? Doesn't the future tense just become the past tense then? I mean,
that's right. At some
point, everyone goes around saying, oh, I will turn 14 20 years ago, then will is past tense.
That's right.
Just because it's flipped.
Well, sometimes what we think is history, actually today, where we go, oh, this is current events, and then what, next week it becomes history.
Yes, exactly.
That, as we yeah. found many times.
Sometimes for better and sometimes
yes,
for worse,
that's right?
Right. Sometimes
here,
for much better.
All right, I've got two that are kind of one.
All right, here
one
we go.
Is, I call it dance anyway. Michael Jackson performs the moonwalk for the first time live before an audience in 1983 on March 25th.
Awesome.
Which is kind of interesting.
And that was for the Motown 25 show, right?
Right.
The famous
yes.
one, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, an interesting kind of thing. He introduced mime with singing.
Mm.
Now, I was born in Gary, Indiana, about 6 months before Michael Jackson was. And when I saw some article, and I said, Jackson Street is. And I asked my mother, I said, where would we live? Oh, we lived on Jackson Street. I went, you're kidding.
Interesting.
Yes. He, Michael Jackson had one glove. I think I might have the other.
I didn't realize that you grew up
yes.
so close in time and place
exactly.
to Michael Jackson.
Exactly. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can do mime as well. Here, let me try that. Oh, that doesn't translate well.
Over the radio, yeah. What was Gary, Indiana like growing up in the...
Well, I was pretty young, so
okay,
it seemed perfectly
yeah.
fine. But it was an urban kind of gritty
right,
environment.
Right, right, right.
Back then, and...
All I know about Gary, Indiana is what you see driving by it on the turnpike there on 8090.
Yeah.
And that's not a good view of Gary, Indiana.
Yeah,
but
Music Man, you know, Gary,
right,
Indiana.
Right, Indiana. Yeah,
exactly. So.
Like that. I know enough not to judge places from what you see on the interstate because I went to grad school
good.
In New Jersey, and I mean, you're driving on the turnpike
yes.
in New Jersey. The view of New Jersey from the turnpike is never good at any point
no.
as you're driving through the state, but it's a lovely state
it
if
is.
You
it
get away from the turnpike.
It actually has
yeah.
a coastline and forests and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. it's yeah. very nice, but not if you're by the interstate.
Yeah, yeah. Gary didn't necessarily have a coastline or forest, but it was.
Yeah.
It had Michael Jackson, and I lived on the streets. So.
Briefly, at least,
yes.
yeah.
All right, here's another one. This is in the category of never too old. Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's,
mm-hmm.
60 years old, gets his GED.
Awesome.
And then, I guess, Florida High School gave him an honorary diploma, most likely to succeed.
Aww.
But, you know, that's kind
Man,
of
Man,
nice
I'll bet
to
the
know.
Kid who graduated that year who actually would have
yes.
won the most
yeah.
likely to
yeah.
succeed, I would have been ticked off
exactly.
if I were that kid,
that's
Mike.
Right.
Especially
Recount.
Since I'm an overachiever Recount. Who's exactly. most likely to succeed. Like, oh, Dave Thomas gets to come in and all they do is found Wendy's. Why did he need the GED at that point?
I think it was just a personal kind of achievement
yeah,
that
probably.
He wanted to get. But, you
yeah.
know, it just
that's
shows
really
that
cool, though.
It is. Here's another. This is actually a really important thing. Happens on that same day, March 25th,
mm-hmm.
1807. The British Parliament abolishes the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference between America, 1808, we had said no more importation of slaves
mm-hmm.
under Jefferson, but the slave trade continued. So
yeah.
that's a sombering note.
Yep.
And there are some other highlights this week around that. I mean, here's one. on March 26th, unfortunately, on March 26th, 2018 is when Linda Brown died, and she was 75. She's the woman who that famous case, Brown versus Board of Education, because yeah. her father wanted to enroll her in an all-white school, and they said no, and he took it, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, And, of course, that became a historic landmark ruling about that separate but equal schools violated the Constitution.
And a really surprising ruling at the time, because when that got handed down, there were a lot of people who thought that the Supreme Court was going to go the other way, and no one thought it was going to be unanimous. I've read about that recently, where there were a couple of very Southern pro-segregation judges on the Supreme Court, but Earl Warren had lobbied and lobbied those judges until he was able to get a unanimous ruling. Had to make some compromises, unfortunately, in order to do that, and that's what led to part of the fight afterwards. But when that decision gets handed down, one of the lawyers from the NAACP was in the room hearing it read, and when Warren announced it was a unanimous verdict, there was this moment where the lawyer looked at one of those two very Southern conservative judges, and the judge looked right back at him and just silently nodded. As that's polling the jury, because I don't think you're the sort of person who would go along with it. It's like, no, even me.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that compelling? Yeah. And Polly Murray, who of course served eventually as Episcopal priest, she was a lawyer, and she prepared so much case material that Thurgood Marshall would say that was absolutely critical to helping them decide that, yes, this is the right way to go.
And we say Polly Murray, who is from this area.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, born in Durham. That's right. And they're working on her home place, and I think it's open now. Also on that date, March 26th, is when the polio vaccine was announced by Jonas Salk. Mm-hmm. Or it wasn't announced, but he announced it, that he had discovered this, and they tried it on a number of adults and children, and it succeeded. That was 1953. Mm. And one of the most famous people who had polio, of course, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. So this was a giant game changer, and how important that was in terms of, you know, when we look at history, what happens.
Yeah. And we talk about, and like there's this controversy online now where there's this anti-vaccination movement that's rising
something?
From people with that. Like we forget, I think, because we don't have to deal with polio anymore, just how significant vaccines are and have been in terms of not just helping people, literally almost eradicating diseases that formerly were not only widespread, but widespread and devastating and deadly.
Right.
You think about polio, you think about smallpox being another one. Yeah, the extent to which our world is different today because we don't have to deal with that
anymore. And because the parents were frightened, was the vaccines doing something? But obviously they have done a lot of powerful good, as the polio vaccine indicates. And certainly with New York declaring a state of emergency, I mean, you know, that's already history. Every day goes by and we go, oh, well, I didn't see that one coming because of this. So it is really, really important. Also, this week we have March 30th, 1867, one of the best buys ever. The U.S. buys Alaska from the Russians at the bargain price of 2 cents an acre.
Hmm.
And they thought that was folly. Well,
there were a lot of acres in Alaska at the time. That probably adds up to quite a bit of money for 1867.
It probably did.
Yeah.
Let's
see that.
And that's also the date, March 30th, 1867, when the 15th Amendment goes into effect, which guarantees the right of citizens to vote, not to be denied by or abridged by account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. You know, it's hard to believe that it would take so long for the rights of that amendment to be fully fleshed out, which
I'm looking this up. I doubt that number.
What?
The 1867.
It was passed by Congress in 1869. It was ratified
1870, March 30th, 1870.
Right,
there we
go. Yep. February 3rd, 1870, but it passes Congress. Well, that's right. I don't know how this got in here. Well, anyways.
Well, I mean, it's that day. It's just not the right year.
That's right.
March 30th, 1870, the 15th Amendment takes effect.
Yes.
I was going to say 1867. Wow. Well, the 14th Amendment is 1868, but that day, if that were the case, like Alaska gets bought and the 15th Amendment goes into effect, that's a real heavy day.
Yeah, that is.
But no, separate days. All right.
That's right. Kind of, those were those amazing things that you go, what? Now, also on this date of March 30th, 1858, is the time when the first pencil with an attached eraser is patented. You know, that was a guess. Aaron is holding up a pencil right now.
A pencil with a barely attached eraser.
That's right.
This thing's gotten some use.
Well, and the yellow color was simply because they would be associated with this high-quality brand that began making them, and then it just stayed ever since as the basic color of pencils, which is kind of unusual.
Once you get to like accepting something, like school buses, right?
Yes.
School buses don't have to be yellow, but once we start thinking about school buses as yellow, then it just becomes something that we take for granted. It's like, oh yes, paint it yellow because it's a school
and
bus.
Pencils, let's paint. Yeah, well, yeah, it's only lately people said, yeah, you could do something different.
You can do other things.
That doesn't seem like a real pencil unless it's yellow.
This pencil that I've grabbed is the most, and you can't see this on the radio, but Scott, you can appreciate how depressing a pencil this is. Because it's still a very long pencil.
Yes,
like
it is.
This is not old. It hasn't been used all this much. The eraser's gone. Like, and it's not been pulled off or anything like that. Like, this eraser has been used
all the way
down to the nub.
That's right.
Which means that every single time this pencil has been used, it's been used to make a mistake that then needs to be erased.
And it's down to a nub. That shows you the ubiquity of pencils, that they can be used so much and they don't require batteries. I mean, it sounds like we should be pushing WCHL pencils right now, but we're not.
I don't know. This whoever's been using this pencil has been doing a really bad job at whatever it is they're doing.
Oh, let me see. Oh, no, I got to make that. All right, let's see. There's some other fun things. Oh, this week, March 31st, 1889, the Eiffel Tower opens to the public for the first time. 984 feet tall. It was the tallest human-made structure in the world. It was supposed to be temporary. It was only supposed to be just for the equivalent of a World's Fair, and then people kind of liked it, and it survived World War II. I just find that kind of one of those amazing
things.
When
it wasn't even supposed to survive the fair, survived World War II.
That's right.
Yeah.
Still standing today, yes.
Significant, And people, this is one of those buildings that people liked it and decided to keep it, but initially hated it, right? Because it's this huge thing
what
on this.
Thing?
Exactly. Like, it doesn't fit in amongst the rest of the Paris skyline in 1880, whatever. People
it's
have
very
to get used
modern,
to it. But,
very, it's very become iconic, and now people just don't think otherwise. Now, here's one that's a little known piece of history.
All right.
And New Zealand claims this. Richard Pierce supposedly flies this monoplane craft several hundred feet and lands atop a 12-foot-high hedge 8 months before the Wright brothers in 1903. And they contend that was the first heavier-than-air flight, though obviously I don't think that's actually generally been accepted worldwide.
Good for them.
I see your skeptical look.
Good
there.
For them. Yeah. They can start a museum. It's great.
Craggy head flew. Yeah. Yeah, but you flew onto a hedge. Here's another purchase thing.
All right.
1917, the U.S. takes possession after purchasing the U.S. Virgin Islands from Denmark for the bargain price of $25 million.
All right.
And which is it was right after the Spanish-American War, and people said, gee, we really want a place out in the Caribbean. That'll be good for the fleet. It doesn't have water,
right?
So they have cisterns, and it got demolished by hurricanes. You think this should be a sign, but they said, no, we still need it. And
all right.
Which is
U.S. Virgin Islands? Okay.
Yeah,
What's the something about the Virgin Islands? You drive on the wrong side of the road there, right?
Well, the left side.
The left side of the road, right?
Yeah.
I said what I said.
Thank you very much. Yes, the British
go out on the road here
about?
And try to drive on the left side. The cops will pull you over. Like you're on the wrong side of the road. No, I'm on the left side of the road.
I'm driving like I'm in U.S. Virgin Islands. Try that. I think that would be an interesting excuse. Yeah. I just don't think that's going to go over. Terribly well here. All right, here's...
I guess there's only one way to find out, though. Go for it and see how it works out for
you. This is a smorgasbord of a show. You just never know what you're going to get. You say, that nugget is so good. I've got three here that are just great.
All right.
March 27th, and we got three interesting things. 1860, what would we be like without the corkscrew? That's when a patent is granted to a fellow M.L. Byrne of New York City. in 18. So before then, I don't know how they got the bottles.
Everyone's
of wine
just
open.
Staring at these wine, going, "Oh man!
If only we could get inside, then we could toast the Eiffel Tower."
ML Byrne comes in and says, "I've invented the corkscrew." They're saying, "Wait, wait! It hasn't aged enough yet."
That's right. Let's give that
put
another
it back.
Few years.
Put it back. Don't tell a soul.
Okay, another one is a surfer, a Jack O'Neill, who was born in 1923. He is credited with inventing the wetsuit because he wanted to surf longer in the colder waters of Northern California. And so he made this suit. And he
that's
was,
so much easier than driving to San Diego.
That's right. Let's put on that, like, hey, man, that sounds cool. Like a wetsuit. That's a great idea. And I have to mention this one, 1869, same date. That was something about March 27th is when Patti Smith Hill is born. Now, if that name doesn't roll off your tongue, like, Patti, oh, yeah, you know the words of a poem she penned. Everybody sings it, everybody knows it, and her sister composed the tune that we all know as
Happy Birthday
to You. I think it's finally made it into the public realm without paying royalties, but
yeah, it has.
Most well-known song, most well-known sung song in the world.
Crap lyrics, though. I mean, like, we're still recognizing Patti Smith Hill today.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear blank. Happy birthday to you. That's genius. That's just genius right there.
These are the small things.
We should be crediting the person who wrote the music, not the person who wrote the lyrics, because it's the music that...
Yes, here's your gift.
Skill.
It's a corkscrew and a wetsuit.
We're speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We got time for one more. What do you got?
All right. The first dance marathon took place in 1923, and begins in New York City's Audubon Ballroom. And the winner was Alma Cummings. She won after six partners and 27 hours of continuous dancing. I think people down at the coast would take exception with that because the shag was invented down there, and they would say, oh, yeah, no, we were doing kind of dance marathons. We didn't call them that, but anyways, dance on. This is a good thing to end. Keep dancing.
There you go. For the kids.
Yeah.
Awesome. History Matters, as always. Scott Washington, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.